A little over 25 years ago, my husband and I celebrated our 5th wedding anniversary in New York City. We had recently moved into a new apartment out of graduate student housing, and for the first time, we were both employed. So we wanted to do something special. And since it was also New Year's Eve, we made a dinner party of it. And I was thrilled when 3 of our closest college friends who had scattered to other parts of the country said that they would travel to be with us. I got up early on the morning of the 31st, filled with elaborate plans for the special dinner that we'd have. I shopped for groceries and flowers while my husband cleaned the apartment, which didn't take very long. It was a pretty small apartment. Our friends arrived late that morning, but there was still so much to do. I asked Will to take them out to the park for the afternoon so that I could finish the cooking. I remember vividly rushing around, trying to decipher unfamiliar recipes, squeezing chairs around a too small table, and fumbling with flowers that wouldn't fit the vase, the only vase I could use because it was a wedding gift. I also remember mixed feelings, excitement about the evening ahead, but pressure for it to all go well, and grumpiness that I was doing the work by myself. And I also glimpsed my perfectionism and my worry over reconnecting with friends that we had somewhat lost track of. It was a splash of cold water. I thought about it, and by the time Will and our friends got back from the park, I had made up different, less elaborate plans. So I really resonate with today's gospel. I have great compassion for Martha, who knows that the man she calls Lord is in town. And so when Jesus arrives in Bethany, she welcomes him into her home. Or more literally, she receives him into her home. I think there's a difference there. There's an intimacy there in receiving someone into your home. And after Jesus is settled, she gets busy with her preparations, and we hear becomes anxious and distracted. The story says that instead of asking her sister for help, she goes straight to Jesus. Lord, do you not care? I am alone in my work. And Jesus replies kindly, Martha, I see you are worried about many things. There is only one thing that is necessary. Mary knows what is good for her, and we won't take it away from her. Now, I want to set aside some of those superficial interpretations of this story that you may have heard in the past. Ones that create a division between the contemplative life and the active life. Or ones that hinge on a critique of female anxiety. Because there is so much more depth in the details. First, the translation of what we heard today about what's going on with Martha, that she is distracted by her many tasks, which honestly brings up the image of someone who's getting lost in the little things, stuck in the weeds of women's work. Not unlike my memory of that anniversary years ago. But the Greek word that Luke uses for what Martha is doing is diakonia. It literally means service, substantive, life-giving service, what we would call ministry. We get the word deacon from diakonia. And it is used repeatedly to describe the mission of the apostles, the ones who serve in Jesus' name. Diakonia is what Martha is about, too. So to understand Martha as getting needlessly hung up on domestic performance misses the mark. Martha stands in the ancient Hebrew tradition of hospitality, where the unexpected arrival is always welcomed, cared for, and treated as the honored guest. And some of the origins of this tradition are found in the first reading that we heard today, where immediately after Abraham seals his covenant with God, the Lord appears to him in the form of three strangers. Abraham runs to greet them and, bowing down, promises a little water and a little bread if they will stay for a while. But then he and Sarah go and they create a feast, cakes and milk and curd and meat, and they serve it to them in the shade of the tree. It's a beautiful image. And before the guests leave, they bless Abraham and Sarah, confirming that Sarah will finally have a child. This is the story behind the saying, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing." So Martha is following Abraham's example, receiving into her home the one she knows as Lord. She wants to serve Jesus, but she finds herself restless. When she asks Jesus if he cares that she works alone, I don't hear resentfulness as much as I hear longing to be close to the one who brings the kingdom of God near. Lord, I want to be with you too. Make Mary help me so we can both be near to you. Jesus responds to Martha that Mary has chosen the good part. It's a more accurate translation than the better part, because the better pits one against the other. But the word is really the good part. It isn't exclusive to one person. It is a confirmation of Mary's rightful place among Jesus' disciples. But it's also, I think, a confirmation of Martha's longing and an invitation to her to claim her place near Jesus as well. And it is an affirmation that the core of hospitality is not about the quality of the food or the size of the table, but the relationship between the host and the guest. That human connection where one is fully seen and deeply heard and feels safe in the intimate space of another. Diakonia. It's vulnerable to be a guest in someone else's home, to sleep in an unfamiliar place and be dependent on the host for one's basic needs. But it's vulnerable to be a host too. Whether the guest is expected or not, we are receiving the unknown, desiring to provide nourishment and comfort, but uncertain at what the guest requires. We open ourselves to an encounter that we cannot control and to a person whose needs may be beyond our capabilities. There are so many ways this community regularly practices hospitality, serving Eucharistic visitees, Noel House guests, sanctuary residents, children on the carpet, and the Seattle Service Corps. And on Sunday mornings now, different ministries are providing hospitality after the services. They offer refreshments, but even more, they're offering a gracious welcome to all. And with the growing needs of our unsheltered neighbors here on Capitol Hill, the vestry has encouraged the Justice Ministry's leadership and anyone who is interested to explore a front door ministry of hospitality, one that greets and assists those who come here on weekdays looking for connection or for help with their basic needs, one that builds relationship. Because relationship is the core of hospitality. Diakonia. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, Martha receives him into her home, acting the role of host. She springs into action apart from Jesus, until her desire for the presence of God draws her back. And in their encounter, Jesus becomes the host, and Mary and Martha become the guests. He nourishes them with words and witness and binds them into their own communion. And that is how it is with our ministries of hospitality too. In Eucharistic visits at Noel House and so many other places, we enter as hosts, but when we attend to the human encounter, we realize that Christ is our host, and we and those we serve are seated at God's table of mercy and love. May we own our real vulnerability in all of this and lean into it as we seek to follow Christ. Amen.